Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about motherhood as we head into the Mother's Day weekend on this Friday, May the 8th. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, you're a mom. You talk to a lot of moms all over the country. What's the biggest challenge facing mothers today in America?
The biggest challenge facing mothers today is to have a balanced perspective on their own importance and the importance of their role. On one side, you have people telling you, you can stick your kids in daycare and it'll all be fine. And on the other hand, you have people telling you, if you don't get this CD or this tape and make your child into a genius, you're a complete failure as a mom. So I think somewhere in there, there's a balanced perspective that you need to be in relationship with your child without worrying about every little thing that they do or say. But you do still need to be available to them. So I think striking that balance is probably the toughest thing that moms have to face today.
I want to spend most of our time here talking about government policy with regard to motherhood and families. But I do have to ask you, what do you think the biggest myth that radical feminism has perpetuated on mothers in America?
Oh, gee, where shall we start, Todd? One of the big myths is that motherhood is for ninnies. I mean, that was one of the big ones that was around for a while. Thankfully, a lot of women are getting away from that and realizing that motherhood is something that they want. Another big myth is that you can wait until you're 35 and everything will be fine. Another myth is that you don't really need a husband, you don't really need a guy. You can get yourself artificially inseminated and not have to worry about negotiating things with a pesky man if you're not able to ultimately find a husband. You know, it'll really all be fine if you just do it yourself. All of those things, I think, are very dangerous myths, and it's interesting how one has led to the next. You start with the myth that motherhood is for ninnies, and women figure out that that's not true. And then you say, well, if you really want to be a mom, wait till you have your career in place. And then people figure out, well, you know, maybe that's not such a good idea. And now we're having women figure out that we want motherhood and we want to get on with it, but we're not so sure about whether we want a husband or not. And I think that myth is going to be exploding in people's faces here pretty soon, because they're going to see that it's single motherhood is a lot harder than people commonly give credit for. And there really are many, many benefits to children of being in relationship with their father. So that mother-father relationship is an important part of motherhood, I think, and one that we don't pay enough attention to.
Where do you think we're already seeing the impact? You talk about it blowing up in people's faces, but where do you think we're already seeing the impact of these feminist myths on mothers?
Well, I think oftentimes when women have a child by themselves, within a short order, they figure out that this was a lot harder than they thought. You're now reading newspaper articles about it and so on, you know, where people are writing and saying, gosh, if I had known how difficult this is, I would have done differently. And those kinds of things, it takes a while in the culture for those things to filter through for enough people to get the word to see that really you and your child would be better off if you were partnered, you know, if you had the support and help of the child's father. So that's the kind of thing that I mean. But I also think that as a general social trend, having single motherhood work its way up into the upper classes, the higher up that goes, I think the more destructive that's going to be. That is marginalizing men from the family and from the whole parenting process and from the whole relationship building process. That's going to create a society that I don't think anybody's really going to want to live in, because a world where men are not engaged with family life is not good for the family and it's not good for men. And we're not going to make good public policy decisions if people aren't really engaged with family life. So I think a number of those things are going to take a little while for people to figure out, but I think we will eventually see it.
Where do you think public policy currently stands as an incentive or disincentive to traditional motherhood?
Well, certainly for lower-income people, it's still the case that that the government more or less gives you more welfare benefits if you don't have a husband around. And so that is, I think, a very serious disincentive to low-income women to get married. And traditional motherhood includes having a traditional father there as part of the picture. So those disincentives are still in place, and I think are still very negative. The other kind of government policy that I think is unfortunate is that the tax incentives for children have not kept pace with inflation. So that is to say, the amount that you can deduct on your income tax for dependents and so on, if that had kept pace with inflation, I think they would be, I read somewhere, I don't quote me on this, they'd be higher than they are now. But it would be advantageous if people could just get a higher tax deduction for each child, because therefore then people can do whatever they want with the money that they save on taxes. And then finally, the last thing is that the way Social Security is calculated, you get credit in Social Security towards your own retirement if you work and pay money into the system. You are considered a contributor to Social Security, and so therefore you're entitled to a pension out of Social Security. But if you stay at home and raise children, and those children grow up and become taxpayers, you don't get any benefit from that at all. And so what has happened is that what we're really doing is looking at future taxes. All of our pensions, all of our Social Security pensions are going to be paid out of future tax payments, and we're only looking at our money contributions to that. We're not looking at whether you contributed future taxpayers to the system. And so that system is really skewed towards people working rather than towards people having kids and contributing in that way. And I think that would be a very important policy change that would help motherhood and help the demographic winter and a lot of the other topics that you and I have talked about in other programs, Todd.
Two quick final questions. What advice would you give to future mothers?
Oh, my goodness. Advice I would give to future moms or young moms just starting out. I think one piece of advice I would get is to be sure that you stay involved with the child's father and keep the father involved. It's very tempting for us women to get completely focused on the child and the child's needs. And of course, it's appropriate to be focused on your child's needs, but you don't want to do that to the exclusion of your relationship with your husband, because your husband will be there for you and with you after the baby is gone, and your child needs his father. So that's the one big piece of advice I would give that I think women don't hear very much from other sources, is that make sure you love your baby's daddy. That's part of loving the baby, is to love the baby's daddy.
Speaking of future moms, the Ruth Institute is sponsoring a student conference at the University of San Diego early in August. It's called It Takes a, I love this title, It Takes a Family to Raise a Village. Tell us a little bit about this conference.
Well, that's right. The Ruth Institute is holding this event on the campus of the University of San Diego. It's independent of the university, of course, but on the campus of the University of San Diego, you can see the ocean from the campus. It's very beautiful. It's completely free to students, for college students and young adults. And it's all about marriage. It's about helping kids to have good, credible academic information about marriage, and also to help support them in the creating a good social environment on their campuses that supports lifelong married love. As you know, the mission of the Ruth Institute is to promote lifelong married love to college students by creating an intellectual and social climate that's favorable to marriage. And so we want college students who are listening to this program to go onto our website, ruthinstitute.org, and you will find right away on the website an application for the conference, and you can apply for it. And if you're accepted to the conference, all your expenses will be paid. You just have to get yourself to San Diego, but your room and board is paid, the conference is paid, and there'll be speakers from law, sociology, a biblical studies person will be there, in addition to me talking about the social significance of the family. We'll have an MD there, and we'll have some workshops on how you can create a fun social environment that doesn't involve you being involved in the hookup culture. So we're really, really excited about this conference. I just talked to a group of students at UCLA yesterday, and I think we'll be getting some applicants from there, and we would certainly welcome applicants from amongst your listeners on Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to ruthinstitute.org and apply for our conference.
Folks, May 25th is the registration deadline for It Takes a Family to Raise a Village, August the 6th through the 9th. held on the campus of the University of San Diego. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. If you go to the On Demand page, you'll find that link to the Ruth Institute and all the information you need on It Takes a Family to Raise a Village. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, happy Mother's Day.
Thanks so much, Todd.